Hello, I'm Eric Jantz, and you're tuned to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. This week, fishing for words in Pacifica. My guest is award-winning poet and author Toni Marosevich. She's delighted us on Out in the Bay before, reading from The Takeaway Bin, Pink Harvest, The Rooms We Make Our Own, and other books of her poetry and flash fiction. She teaches writing at San Francisco State University, which recently gave her a grant to write about the Pacifica Pier. More specifically, as she put it to me recently, the strange, untamed world of the Pacifica Pier. This project follows Queer Street, a book of poems about life in Pacifica, where she moved with her partner 21 years ago, queering their suburban neighborhood like never before. As part of this project, she's putting on the first ever Pacifica Pier Poetry Walk, Fishing for Words, on April 14th. That's this Saturday after next. And then 2 weeks later, April 28th, Pier Pressure, a party to celebrate the 39-year-old concrete structure, one of the few remaining public fishing piers on the West Coast, where cultures collide and where the unexpected reigns supreme, where the encounters with the people or pelicans or crabs you meet will surprise you every time. She wrote that last line. So stick around for some tales and some little bit of surf music from Pacifica, its pier, and its people. Toni Marosevich, welcome back to Out in the Bay.
It's a treat to be back here.
So tell us about this Pacifica Pier project and what inspired you to want to write about it.
Well, my partner and I walk by it every day. We've lived in Pacifica for 21 years, and we kept walking by, and we take the dogs in the morning, and started to wonder why we always walked by it and didn't walk out onto it. And it's a gorgeous pier. It's kind of like an L-shaped room that extends out over the sea. And then I started to think about how I often write about the sea because I'm from a fishing family, and that it was time to step onto the pier and step into a community and world that I thought that I might not belong, because it's a kind of a rough and tumble pier. It's not a Disney pier. It's not a pier that's all clean with little windsocks and pretty little shops. It's a gritty pier.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
would you say a working pier? People really
people fish there, and they fish for food. And by the time you walk to the end, can seem like there's a kind of a rough group gang out there that there's drinking and partying and having a big time. And I thought, well, gee, you know, maybe I won't feel comfortable. And at the same time, I felt like this is my past. I used to walk on docks when I was a kid. So
that's right. Your father was a fisherman,
that's
right?
That's right. And so Pacifica, and when we moved to Pacifica as a queer couple, we thought, gee, we had a number of indications that suggested that we might not be welcome. A woman who came up to us when we moved onto our block, and she said, well, I sure am glad a gay couple had the guts to move on this block.
Meaning watch your back?
Yeah, in a big way. And so so we thought, God, how are we going to take our place in the community? And we did. And In walking by the pier, I thought, how am I going to take my place in that world that's familiar and strange? And I started to walk onto it, and then this whole world opened up, mm-hmm. of really fabulous encounters with people that I might immediately look at and think, gee, that's, we're going to have a rough time together, but it turns out that everyone's quite lovely.
Mm-hmm. Sort of challenges us looking past the labels and stereotypes we have of others.
And they, us. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll just mention while I'm thinking about it that there are some photos of the Pacifica Pier both on our Out in the Bay page on KALW's website. So it's a little complicated. I think the easiest way to tell you to get there is KALW.org/programs/out-bay. That's for Out in the Bay. KALW.org/programs/out-bay. And on your Facebook page, which That's is right. not exactly easy to find either, but it's Pure Poetry.
That's right. Just Pure Poetry, and that'll take you to the Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. So. Great. Take a look at those photos. What did you... And so this project you have with SF State is to write about the pier, and that involves a lot of talking to people and sort of getting oral histories?
That's right. The project is a mini grant for, it's called a creative work grant. And so as I was writing about the pier and also writing about the sea, which I've done for a long time in terms of memory as well, I proposed this grant that I would come up with a manuscript that talked about how various communities intersect there. And again, it's a world where there's communities that intersect that don't often intersect, so that there's wonderful things about that and tensions as well. The surfers don't always get along. The surfers who surf near the pier don't always get along with the crabbers who crab on the pier. The tourists who come on and ask the crabbers, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? When a person just wants to fish, there are certain tensions there. So it's this really interesting kind of outdoor cultural space where people find themselves in a type of parallel play that includes tension and includes community. It's a really interesting place. Mm-hmm. And you walk onto the pier, and in some weird way, all of your troubles that you had on land, your landlocked cares seem left behind. In case you've, say, had a hard day,
yes,
Eric.
Thank you. We were just talking yes. before we went on the air about what a day I've had. And Toni was promising to perhaps calm me down a little bit with one of her poems, which is kind of about the calming effects of the pier, right?
Yes. Well, this is a tiny piece at the start of the manuscript, and it's about the desire to leave things behind. And so it's very short, and here it is at the start. I want to fall into something larger, larger than a cup, a sink, a tub, too small a target from this high perch, larger than the vat of molten wax in the old horror movie House of Wax, Vincent Price's final fate, his tumble into the vat, and yes, after the fall he was disfigured, but wasn't he also finally free? Larger than Jane Mansfield's heart-shaped pool, her initials etched in the deep end by her beefy Hollywood man, her swan dive before the car crash that beheaded her, that sent her blonde head a-rolling. Oh, Janie, what Olympic-sized lengths gone to for fame and fortune, what big, buxomed Olympic-sized drama. I want to fall into something larger than a pond, a lake, a bay, a gulf, the minor seas, the Caspian, the Arctic, the Baltic, stepsisters to the larger bodies of water, the oceans, the Indian, the Atlantic, the Pacific. I want to fall off the clean, deep blue edge. No need then to tell a story, no need for a beginning, middle, and end, and veils will fall between this world and the world beyond the sky, between the grimy, beloved past and the strangled, tortured present, and daily care will become only a distant memory. Everything on land confines, gossip, minutia, pressure, chore. But each evening, like faith, still there, the sea outside the window, larger than this life. Only out there, no worry to tie. Only out there, no worry to bind. So, once you step onto the pier,
I feel calmer already.
There's something that is weirdly timeless. Though you can go out there and talk to a crabber, and he or she can say, I've been here since 4 in the morning, or I've been here for 6 hours, and this is how many crabs I've caught. They can be very specific about time. There is something strange about going out there and then feeling as if time has slipped away or dropped away. And parking tickets may have dropped away. Or anything that bothered you.
Or you may have a ticket because you parked too long while you were lost track of time on the pier.
How perfect, how perfect. So it's a strange and estranged and kind of an altered place where, again, you walk out and something changes. You take the first step and something changes. And I think one of the reasons that happens is that you're on this elevated span. You're out to sea, out in the bay. You're out in the sea. And whales go by and things happen. It's really strange. It's strange in the most wonderfully odd way.
How far out into the water does this pier go?
A quarter of a mile, they say.
Straight out, but it takes a curve.
The L-shaped curve, okay. Yeah. It takes that little curve at the end, mm-hmm. where a lot of interesting things happen. You have to go out far. You have to get to the end for things to happen.
What kind of things happen?
Well, here,
oh, this isn't that kind of a gay show.
Oh, actually, I've heard that there was a porn movie that was filmed there at night. There's lots
really?
Of things
okay.
that go on. There's one little tale of being out there, and there I was out there with Andy Pappas, the Crab King, who we may talk about in a minute. I was out there one day talking to him, a gorgeous day, and he introduces me to a man who turns out to be a doctor from Seton Hospital, and or this is what the man says. And so Andy looks at me on this gorgeous day. We're out there at the end of the pier, and he says, well, look it, I almost cut my finger off with my garden shears. And this man that we're talking to says, well, I had a skill saw, and I almost cut off my thumb. So I said, well, look at my carpal tunnel scar. Because I wanted to be part
of the... Occupational hazards, we all have them.
And so I said, look it, we're here talking about our scars. And this man, the doctor says, oh, no, we're talking about our happiness. And I said, what do you mean? He said, what do you mean? Our happiness. It's a beautiful day. We've survived our scars. We're all getting along. We're talking about our happiness. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And then a guy caught a small shark right next to us, and there you go. I mean, where does that happen, Eric, in the world? Where, on what street?
Yeah, I have never been anywhere where I've had people gripe about their problems, and then someone catches a shark, you know,
and talks about their happiness. It was a baby shark, and they threw it back. It was so cute. Very cute shark.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you live in Pacifica before you, you know, finally dared to venture onto the pier?
Well, it was a while.
Years? Months?
You know, I mean, when we first went down there, we walked onto the pier, probably just walked down and walked off. But then, really, we bypassed it for years. Part of it was having the dogs, because we have two dogs, and you're not supposed to bring dogs on the pier. But walk on the pier, it'll say no glass containers. Count the glass containers that you see on the pier. Dogs will be on the pier. Pacifica is going to be very unhappy that I'm saying this, but... So all of these little signs, there can be a certain lawlessness that occurs. Anyhow, but we didn't go on for a while. And I started to step onto the pier. And similarly, the book Queer Street, about our neighborhood, there was a way of staying behind the glass of our front windows and watching the neighborhood go by, but feeling separated from, because, you know, the proposition, yes, the yes on 8 signs are pointed towards our house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you feel like, how am I ever going to vault that boundary between me and whoever's on the other side of that glass, or me who is on the end of that pier? Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to step on it, right? You've got to step out.
Would you like to read something from Queer Street? While you're looking that up, I'm just going to tell folks that you are listening to Out in the Bay. My name's Eric Jansen. My guest is Tony Marosevich, author and poet and writing professor at SF State. And we're talking about Pacifica. And after she reads a little selection from Queer Street, we're going to talk about the Pacifica Poetry, the Pier Poetry Walk. Ah,
I know, isn't it?
The Pacifica Pier Poetry Walk. That's it. I got it. Saturday, April 14th.
That's good. That's good. Well, this is I think the poem that best says it about the need to move beyond what we know and the stereotypes of others and their stereotypes of us. And it's called The Procession. In the morning, in a line, one after the other, the Tongan boys with backpacks, then the two toddlers, a boy, a girl, with their mother laboring past the house. The moment to catch her breath at our fence post, the continuation, the march, next the reggae son who forfeited school, the boombox, Rastaman vibration, the smile, the nod our way, the I will do you no harm, the go ahead and blast your music when you walk by our house if you will do us no harm, the fathers at the laundromat folding sarongs, the men who dress in skirts and are not ridiculed. If families were all like this, if this were the model, but we are not like this. The two dykes who live in the corner house, the Irish boys who walk by next, who follow one after another on their march to school, or is it to the sea to collect salt? They look like men in dhotis with their blousy pants that resemble sarongs. These kids who just yesterday wrote bitch on our fence. Tell me, what would Gandhi do? Would he follow the march, the procession, all day long, of the Irish, the Vietnamese, the Jamaicans, the Russians, the Filipinos, the mixed blood, who walk by our house? Or would he join us here behind the window, the queers? If only there were no separation. If only we could bring up the rear. Tomorrow I will stop the dogs barking when you pass. We'll clean off the fence. We'll do you no harm. If only we can break bread together. If only the twain shall meet. So that's a little like walking onto the pier, too. It's like walking onto the pier and if only we can break bread together, or if only we can catch a crab together. And it's a good thing.
That's Tony Marosevich reading from Queer Street. Tell us about this poetry walk coming up.
So one of the signs that you'll see on the pier at various intervals is, besides no glass containers and no dogs, it says two lines per person. So a few years back, I started to take my poetry classes from San Francisco State on a field trip down to the pier. And every time they saw two lines per person on the pier, they had to stop and write a couplet, look out at the sea and write a couplet, which is two lines of poetry. And they had to do this each time they saw the sign.
And they're fairly often, aren't they?
That's
correct. They have the big stenciled signs.
That's right. That's right.
No overhead casting.
That's right. That's right. But people always overhead cast.
Someone could cheat and write more than two lines.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Already.
Just to be in spirit.
Anarchy. Anarchy. Poetic anarchy. But by the time you reach the end of the pier, you've written this poem. And some of my students have published these poems, and it's really pretty wonderful. So came up with this idea here, I thought, oh, well, you know, we'll have people walk the pier who aren't professional poets, who may have never put pen to paper. But you walk out of that pier and you're moved. You're not just literally moved because the surf really kind of sometimes shakes it, and you can feel that vibration up through your feet. But you're usually moved in some other way, by the splendor of the sea or by the encounter that you've had with someone there.
Or the fog.
Or the fog, the swirling, gray, depressing fog.
When you get out to the, how far do you have to walk? I know it's not always foggy in Pacifica, but I imagine that must help this feeling of serenity and separation from the land, because you probably don't get more than 50 feet before you can't see the land anymore.
Do you know how sunny it is, how often? And Eric, you've got to come down a little more often. It's real. It's, you know, we have, the summer is our winter. You know that. It's like, you know, it's fires in the fireplace. It's so, so, so cold. But right now, gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, I'm not surprised. It's so crisp and clear today. Cold, but crisp and clear. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was actually at a show last April Fool's Day, April 1st, Coco Peru at the Victoria Theater, and this warm-up drag queen came out and briefly talked. How many people from San Francisco? How many people from Pacifica? And I said, me. And of course, I was just kidding. But she's like, really? Who's from Pacifica? I said, just kidding. And then she started picking on me, of course, you know.
Because it's supposed to be, this is how
But I've been there, at least.
You've been there. And, you know, there are this is me saying that there's too many tragically hip events in San Francisco. This is a tragically unhip event in Pacifica.
So are the regulars there, the crabbers and the fishermen,
yeah, yeah,
and maybe the surfers, are they like, oh, no, this poetry walk is coming. We better clear out.
Well, except for the fact that we have a number of people who are from all of the people that you've met, groups you've just mentioned, are involved. So we have a man named Ron, who we call the bird whisperer, who gets this pelican to keep returning to the pier, and he fishes with golden bait traps, and he's going to be at the peer pressure thing talking about his stories. And we have a surfer, Roy Ernst, with Pacifica Environmental Family, and he's going to be there reading his poems, and Andy Pappas may be there. So it'll be interesting to see people mix, the people who walk the pier and the people who are there, but we've already done some pre-relating,
mm-hmm.
You know? So it should be fun.
Good, good. And then on the 28th, there is a celebration about the pier.
Yes.
But it won't be on the pier. Tell us a little bit about that.
That'll be at the firehouse at Pedro Point. And it's a multimedia wild event. It's there'll be photography and videos, and the surf band, the Wander Inns, will play. And I'll read from the manuscript. We have a number of young writers from San Francisco who are coming to read. We'll have interviews. It'll be nuts. It'll be fun. It'll be very, very fun.
Okay, good. I wanted to ask you briefly about, poetry is a career. You teach writing. You know, I know, you know. I had another guest on a while ago, a dancer, and on her website, she said something like part of her mission is, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it was something like, artists are cultural workers.
Yes.
And I don't. And some people say, well, it sounds very communist or
it's
something.
It's great, especially if they're cultural workers who get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, or anyone who gets paid for the artistry that they come up with. So, you know, there's a lot of writers in our program at San Francisco State, and they're wonderful people who will write fabulous things as they go on in life, and some of them will get paid and some of them won't. In terms of a career, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard
like
to...
like doing radio.
Well, there you go.
Or
you
journalism. Know. I mean, it's so fallen by the wayside
there
in so
you
many
go.
Ways. I
so
feel like a cultural worker.
But, you know, it's going to be...
Well, they used to call volunteers... actually, at KPFA, where my mom used to work years ago, they weren't volunteers. They were unpaid workers.
Well, that's really true, isn't it?
It is true.
That's
and a lot
right.
of companies are dependent on unpaid workers, interns.
That's right. And, you know, we have a lot of unpaid workers working on this peer project, to let you know that, too. A lot of volunteers. So,
You also have a story you sent me about your rebel attitude in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that... somehow is related to the peer project.
Well, it's probably, you know, where I learned my lawless ways early on. You do want to hear that. Huh? You want to hear the culotte story, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because it was the start of a radical journey.
Perhaps is this the first time your radical tendencies surfaced?
Yeah.
And what are culottes anyway? I'm not sure I
God.
Know.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, culottes...
I'm not a fashion queen.
Well... I should have worn some. Culottes back in the day were, you know, it looked like a skirt, but actually it was, they were pants. And so, but with little pleats in front, you couldn't quite tell. Like if you walked with your legs together all day long, you would never be able to tell that they were pants.
I see. So the problem was not that they were culottes, but that they were pants.
That's right. They were pants disguised as a skirt.
Right.
So,
were you allowed to wear jeans?
No, you weren't.
Because you were a girl, you had to wear a skirt.
Exactly.
Yeah,
or a dress. And, you know, I don't know who, finked on me, probably a young Republican finked on me. And then suddenly I, was called to the principal's office and they said, you know, you have to go home and change. And this is against the rules. Culottes were against the rules. And somehow I, talked the principal into letting me put on Freedom Day, mm-hmm. which was a day at the end of the year where we got to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're very persuasive. You're persuasive at a young age. So you're in trouble. Instead of having like this, your punishment was to put on Freedom Day.
I don't quite remember how that worked, but it really was true. And we got to throw water balloons, and you know, brought a car onto campus, and if you hit it for 25 cents, it was like a junker. And oh, it was fun, very very fun. So somehow that started when this project started going on, and it got large with these two events. I tell the committee that works on it, every time it gets too large, someone yells Freedom Day for us to kind of bring it back in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The Crab King.
Yes.
We've not got a whole lot of time left. Do you have a little bit more from the manuscript you want
yes.
to read?
Yeah. Why don't I read one more piece from that? And
does it have a title yet? I thought I saw a working title somewhere on your website.
The working title is Spell Heaven. I'd like to read one more piece that the other thing about the pier is that when you're up there and you're looking out, you're going to see things that you not only have never seen before, but you're going to have a certain perspective on the beach that's really, really key and interesting. So this is about seeing something on the beach, and it's also about memory. And it's called This Once Bright Thing. Just before dawn, before someone flips the switch, trips the circuit breaker, turns night into day before light floods the shore. The sand is swept clean, blown clean, clear to the crumbs left on the carpet of what the cat dragged in, the sea dragged in. On some days from this pier's perch, you can see the footprints of a solitary figure who trudged back and forth along the beach, though this morning there are no footprints, no trail to follow, no breadcrumbs or other leftovers, the bony arms of driftwood, plastic bottles, a length of rope frayed at the end like a ragged wick. You, too, are frayed at the end of your rope. You've come here to find something, anything, and if there's anything to see, you'll see it. you have an unobstructed view. Then, just when you're about to give up and to turn away, you spot something in the sand. Before you get near, before you take the first step, it's a guessing game. Is it a clear balloon, a discarded jar, a glass float? It looks transparent, something you can see through, a round window, a porthole, which triggers a flash. You were a child, and the neighborhood kid who mowed your grass left a clear glass jug full of gasoline on the back porch, the gas that made the lawnmower go. As the afternoon sun lowered in the sky, the sun's rays glinted off the glass, struck at the right angle, caused a spark, a flame that licked the sides of the jug and carried it up the invisible wick, found the porch, the back wall of the house, blew through the back door and came inside. Somewhere across town, fire alarms went off. Somewhere, a fisherman slid down a pole. And later, after the smoke had cleared, a fireman took you up in his fatherly arms, for your own father was far away at sea, in the middle of all that water, of no use out there, waves that would never make it to shore in the time to put out this flame. As you near the object, you see it's not a jar, a bottle, a float. It's a light bulb, in a shape you've never seen, narrow at both ends, round in the middle, as if someone tried to blow up a balloon, lost heart, and stopped halfway. A tinkerer with the right tools could fit a tiny ship inside this bulb, could raise its sails. That ship could sail along that silver line of horizon, the filament, a line as delicate as a spider's wire. On the outside of the glass are free floaters, hitchhikers who held on, who came along for the ride, tiny mussels and threads of seaweeds and spores, they held on. This object once cast light onto the water. This fragile thing survived rough seas, was tossed about as we are tossed about by dramas of our own and of others' making. And how do we survive? How did this survive? This fragile glass, this once bright thing that glowed and glowed like memory glows and glows before it snuffed out, before we forget. Here it is now. Pick it up. Hold it in your hands. Look inside. Is he still back there? The fireman. Still out there. The sea captain. Still at the back door. Your mother calling you in from play. And what of the boy who cut the lawn? Look close. Can you see him now? Mowing the grass. Trudging back and forth across the sand. As the seas go back and forth. As you go back and forth. From the present to the past to this moment. And through it all, the waves continue, the day continues. Through it all, the morning light continues, bright and curved and sturdy as a flame.
Thank you. Tony Marosevich, cool. Reading from your manuscript about the Pacifica Pier.
That's
a work in progress. The Pacifica Pier Poetry Walk is coming up on Saturday, April 14th, and then Peer Pressure, the party, on Saturday, April 28th. You can get information about them at peerpoetry.org. Well, I don't have time for the quick note I was going to do, so I'm just going to have to say thank you to my guest, author, poet, and SF State Writing Professor Tony Marosevich. You can learn more about her and her wonderful books on our website, tonymarosevich.com. Or maybe it's easier to just Google Queer Street. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. I want to thank WY Enterprises for maintaining our website, outinthebay.com. Thanks also to our engineer this week, Joanne Marr. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead, who will be playing with jazz singer Joshua Klipp, a two-time Out in the Bay guest, and his Kliptones this Saturday night at Savannah Jazz on Mission Street. I believe it's near 26th. You can learn more about Holly on her blog, hollymead.tumblr.com. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, general comments, and questions. So please write to us, eric@outinthebay.com and marilyn@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.